This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony Desiri.
All right, welcome back, SB Nation Radio. All right, the Seattle Seahawks are 4-1 Sunday night. They'll take on Arizona out in Phoenix. John Fraley covers the Seahawks for SB Nation. It's fieldgoals.com to help us explain what we're seeing with this 4-1 team. They got off to a really shaky start in the beginning, but again, tops in the NFC West as of right now. How are you, John?
Hi, Tony. I'm doing great. Yourself?
Thank you very much for your time. All right, so let's talk about the Seahawks. In the beginning of the year, they were kind of off to this rocky start. Their offense wasn't clicking. Now they're 4-1. What adjustments have they made? What do they look like now that they didn't look like at the beginning of the year?
Well, we're seeing some points scored. I mean, that Rams game in week two was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
3 points put on the board. They had some real offensive line issues. They had a hobbled Russell Wilson, but they're getting past both of those pretty quickly. What I'm seeing right now is the offensive line can actually pass block. They're ahead of schedule. Last year, it took them about eight weeks last year to learn how to pass block, and now they got to figure it out. And they got Russell Wilson more healthy now too. Both of those things are making a difference, along with giant wild card Jimmy Graham. He and Wilson are on the same page now, and it's a thing of beauty.
All right, let's get to that offensive line, because that was one of the things people said at the beginning of the year. This was a major concern for this team. People didn't like the way it was put together. In terms of what you're seeing, were those fears or those criticisms valid at the beginning of the season? So if they do anything well, is it a pleasant surprise, or were we all kind of overblowing that?
It's always hard with the offensive line, especially because their personnel keeps changing. They got new people all over the line this year. They moved Britt to center. They have they're working with Bradley Sowell at left tackle. They moved Gilliam over to right. Gary Gilliam over to right tackle. They brought in first round pick Cafetti, and then they have Glowinski on the left side of, at the left guard position. None of those guys were at that position last year.
Yeah,
none of them were playing the same position as they were in 2015. So it's really hard to tell whether they were going to be any good or not. I mean, in 2015 they turned it on halfway through the season. But there was a real big unknown about that, and they've had terrible pass-blocking offensive lines through 2013, 2014, 2015. So, yeah, to get to your second part of your question, for sure, any sort of competency in pass-blocking is just a bonus at this point. It's hard to tell how good they are at run-blocking, though. So there's just a big mystery still.
In terms of the health, and you brought this up with Russell Wilson, he's had a knee and an ankle, and so he's relatively healthy now, but is there still concern about his game and what those injuries are doing to his game?
Yeah, I don't think he's nearly as mobile as far as running the football anymore, but he's making it up for it to my eye in the way that he's climbing the pocket better, the way he's moving around when there is a pocket, he's stepping up a lot more than he was last year. So for sure, as a rushing threat, I'm not seeing what we've seen in the past when he had 600 or 700 or 800 yards rushing in a season, but I'm seeing him be highly mobile in the pocket anyway. And I think that's making him more effective in the pocket, and therefore he doesn't have to run as much. It's kind of you're not going to say that the injuries are a blessing in disguise, because you never want your quarterback to be hobbling around on half a leg.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, it could be a lot worse. I think that he's really had to up another part of his game because of the injury.
John Fraley joins us, fieldgoals.com, on the Seahawks, who are 4-1. All right, so give me a little inside information on Richard Sherman. He had this, he was kind of yelling. Is that like, not to use another sport term, the inside baseball of Richard Sherman, when he's like on the sidelines yelling, is that something you guys see all the time? Because when the national media sees it, we go, look at the monster of Richard Sherman. What's he doing there, and how is it taken?
Yeah, we don't see this. What you saw on Sunday, where he really started to get in with his DC, with Chris Richard, he really started to mix it up with him, not physically, but verbally.
Yeah.
That's not typical. You're not going to see that all the time. I mean, he's a passionate dude. We've all seen that he can say a thing or two in great big moments. He's certainly not shy about expressing himself. But the shouting match that we saw is not the same. What was best about that, though, was that the rest of the team really picked him up. And I don't know how much this got mentioned nationally, but they surrounded him, and everybody started dancing around him. It was a really interesting scene on the sideline. He was worked up. He was angry about something. And everybody just kind of said, all right, Richard, that's cool. We're just going to go ahead and make this about the team and not about you. And I thought it was a really veteran move by the rest of the defense. It was a very interesting thing to do.
Give me an idea about Richard Sherman and how calculating he is when he goes – off football script. Because, you know, all this conversation about Colin Kaepernick and kneeling down. Sure. Richard Sherman is really an outspoken guy, and he'll say things. He'll take on causes. He'll lay out his arguments really well. In the culture of the Seahawks organization, how is that looked upon? And is he calculating mm-hmm. in that he knows exactly what he's saying at every second that he says it?
I don't think any of us know exactly what we're saying at every second that we say it. I think that one of the great things about Pete Carroll is that he really allows people's personality to shine through. He's not the kind of coach who says, it's my way or the highway. He really wants his guys to be himself. And so he just lets Richard do that. And it doesn't disrupt the program. It doesn't disrupt what Pete wants to do. And so I think Richard pushes it to the extreme, and he just likes to say what's on his mind. And he's also thinking very much, I think, about his career after football. He wants to be relevant for a long time. And one way to do that is to stay in the public eye. Of course, it helps that he's highly intelligent. But as far as super calculating, I would say he's calculating as far as he wants to build his brand, and he wants to be relevant for decades instead of just a few years.
Yeah, and the reason I ask this is because when I hear him go on these rants, I see a person that I think, I go, you know, this is just not something that he didn't see coming. Like, it's almost like I'm calculated. I have my arguments, almost like preparing for a debate. Like, I know what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. I know what I'm doing. I know where this might land. And I respect that. I may not agree with some of the things, but he lays it out really well, some of his points.
Yeah, that's a smart dude. Graduated from Stanford. I think also there is a fair amount of preparation. I think you're right on with that. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. There's a certain amount of preparation and a certain amount of spontaneity. I mean, just like any of us.
Well, this is a team that we've seen over the last couple of years build this tremendous defense and help them win a Super Bowl, help them get to another Super Bowl. This year's defense is getting these a lot of accolades, but on what level mm-hmm. is this year's unit?
You hate to say that 5 games out of 16 is a small sample size, because that's like a third of the season. But they've only played one really tough offense. I mean, they ended up playing the Rams. They played led by Case Keenum. They played the Blaine Gabbert Niners. The Matt Ryan Falcons were the first real tough offense that they played, and they looked in that first half like the best defense in history. 3 points allowed. They allowed 86 yards in the first half to the Falcons. Of course, then they allowed 252 yards and 21 points in the third quarter. So they did not all of a sudden look like the greatest defense of all time at that point. I think they've got moments in them where they could be historically great. But I'm not sure that they can sustain it throughout the whole season. I think the injuries are going to take their toll. I think that they're going to have certain bad games and certain bad quarters at certain times. But I think they'll still end up as one of the top 5 defenses by scoring, and probably by yardage, and probably by opponent passer rating, all these important metrics. They'll probably still end up top 5 this year.
I got 60 seconds. I did want to ask you about Jimmy Graham, because you brought up the connection with Russell Wilson. In terms of it working, was there a spark, or is this something that it got integrated and over time it blossomed?
Mm-hmm. I think that what started to happen is they were just starting to click week 9 last year. Huge game, 2015 week 9 against the Steelers. Graham made a couple great catches. He and Russell looked like they had chemistry, and then, of course, he got hurt. So I think we're seeing a continuation of what started last year. I think that Russell knows how to look for him now. I think they've had an offseason together. I think we're just seeing a continuation of the clicking that started last year.
Great stuff. John Fraley, again, SB Nation of the site. It's fieldgoals.com. It's on Seattle. They're 4-1. Sunday night, they take on Arizona. Love it, man. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Of course, Tony. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Yeah, we'll probably be hitting up with him soon as the Seahawks get better and better throughout the season. I love Richard Sherman. I like him a lot. I do. I may not agree with a lot of stuff Richard Sherman does, but you know what? When you're looking for, he's a really smart guy. He really, when he wants to bring up an issue, I've always said this, I can respect the way you deliver your message. I may not like it, I may disagree with it, but I can respect it if you lay it out. And Richard Sherman lays out everything. He does. He'll say, hey, he'll make fun, he'll joke about it, but in the end, he'll have a serious side and a serious message. Yeah, to have him in the league, I think, is really good. All right, coming up next, we'll talk more about the Cubs and the Dodgers in Game 5, what to expect this weekend out of that series. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.